Last Word on Today FM.
Last Word on TV and streaming. We've lots to get through because there's more and more new releases coming out, lots of television to take us through the autumn. And of course, there's been a big push on House of Guinness on Netflix, which was Joe's pick of the week last week. You had a look at it, Elaine, what do you think?
Not a fan. I don't think I'll be returning to it. I did give it a good shout. I watched, it was probably three episodes because I let it run on Netflix. It was House of Guinness. And I think while I was watching it, I started to rethink a lot of things. I was like, do I even like Peaky Blinders? Because I think it kind of suffered under the weight of being this Peaky Blinders does Dublin element to it. And I don't think it was pulled off. I don't think it worked. It didn't work for me.
Even with all the Irish subtitles?
I didn't watch it with the Gaeilge subtitles on. Because I was kind of half watching it. As I said, it kind of kept losing me and I kept getting distracted and doing other things about the house as it was on.
Joe, was it worth recommending?
Pointy blinders.
Did it go a bit flat, like a bad pint?
It did a bit, to be honest with you. Like, I wasn't expecting, you know, world-class, epic, fantastically written loads of depth drama, right? Because this is Stephen Knight, this is the Peaky Blinders guy, and he's only got one note, really. And there was a lot of that Peaky Blinders kind of things of men angrily striding around the place in big hats and coats, slow motion punches that suddenly speed up, lots of fires and lots of, you know, visual drama and things popping. And it was a bit cartoonish. James Norton is in it as this character called Rafferty, who's kind of like, you know, the king of St. James's Gate. And he doesn't so much chew the scenery as attack it with a chainsaw from start to finish. It's an extraordinary performance. And at least he's having fun. So that's great. It's a bit cartoonish, it's a bit mad, it's a bit over the top, and like, if you know anything about Irish, it's great that they have subtitles in Irish on it, and there's lots of Irish contemporary, contemporary bands, some good, some bad, Nick Capper in it. But I'd say if you're a historian, an Irish historian as well, you'll probably throw your TV out the window after about 5 seconds. But you know what? It's fun. That's the best thing you can say about it. If you like Peaky Blinders, it's fun.
And what about the Walsh sisters? Let's hear a little bit from the new RTE show, which will be on the BBC later in the year, based on the novels by Marion Keyes.
The first thing when Princess Diana died was the outpouring of cheap, ugly flowers.
I'm sorry, the murder thing wrapped in plastic isn't up to your standards.
He's all right. These ones are gorgeous, Anna. We'll put them into the window of the good room.
Do you know what goes into the good room, Mum?
Yeah, leave them here where we can see them.
Everyone passing by on the street would see them.
Oh, well then.
Well, I'll do it later.
Sorry.
Here she is.
Rachel!
Oh, here.
Mum, these are for you.
Butter cookies. I'd be as fat as a fool. Are you trying to give me diabetes?
Mum, dial down the fat phobia, please. It is really boring.
Fat phobia? See, that's the problem with your generation, Helen. You're so accepting.
Well, excuse us for trying to make people feel comfortable in their own bodies.
But at what cost, Helen? At what cost?
Okay, it's not getting great reviews either, is it? Joe, what did you make of it?
I actually didn't see it, to be honest with you. So I can't claim to. I saw the reviews and they're kind of lukewarm. But no, I didn't see it at all.
Okay, you've seen it, Elaine.
I've seen it and I've read the reviews and I found it charming. Now, I think one of the things that was always going to be hard for the Walsh sisters was comparison to the source text. Marion Keyes' books are very evocative, very relatable to people and very beloved. And I saw from a lot of the reviews that kind of slated the show, it was in light of comparison to Marion Keyes' books.
Now, hang on, that's interesting, because hasn't Marion Keyes at times in her writing suffered from the snobbery of some reviewers? I mean, it's only in recent times that, for many people, Marion Keyes has been held up as a cultural treasure, because there were many times in years gone past when she was treated by the reviewers in the newspapers with a degree of disdain. And they're now giving out about the television adaptations not being good enough out of the books.
And that's the other thing as well. I think there was a weight of expectation. This has been heavily promoted by RTE as, you know, a big pillar of their autumn schedule. It's following in the footsteps of The Traitors having finished up and it's now taking that time slot on Sunday nights. And I do think as well that maybe it's getting harshly judged, because I don't think it ever sold itself on anything that wasn't delivered upon on Sunday night. I got exactly what I was expecting from that show. I think the cast is really strong. I think it has room to grow. Louisa Harland is fantastic. She's one of the Walsh sisters in it, but she really is taking kind of a leading role, even though it is a five-part five-part cast. The accents are all over the shop, and I think that is a fair criticism. They don't sound like they grew up together. They don't sound like they grew up near each other, let alone in the same household. That is a bit something that takes you out of it every once in a while. But I did find it engaging. I did find it a nice interpretation of the Walsh sisters, which is a story that actually in the books takes place across different countries and things like that. And they've had to, you know, contain it a little bit. So it is going to be different. And I think it definitely deserves a chance.
Okay, Joe Shea, could it be that this is one that the public will like more than the critics?
Yeah, and you'll often get that, you know, and especially with the, you were right to point to the fact that Marion Keyes, you know, maybe in the past wouldn't have been that respected or would have been thought, you know, not up there with our great national writers and all this kind of stuff. So it's going to find an audience, and, you know, it might get some it might get some lukewarm reviews, but it'll probably find an audience anyway.
Okay, why is Big Brother not on Virgin Media, Elaine? Do we know?
We don't really know exactly why, but it's presumably to do with possibly not performing as well. It's season 22 debuted the past weekend and basically did not air on Virgin Media, which has carried the series since 2015. And they instead showed a new season of Love Island Games instead. And their response to queries as to why it wasn't picked up by them was that they are, you know, serving the audience and where audience figures are going, essentially. So maybe it just wasn't doing numbers for them. I mean, I kind of didn't even notice this season was rolling around. It's sometimes because you're watching the TV news is something that you come across that's happening, and it didn't just seem to be bubbling under the surface and not getting much attention anyway.
Will anyone miss it, do you think, Joe, if they can't pick it up in Ireland?
Probably, because there's still a lot of people who would like to sit down and watch Big Brother, and it went through kind of a bit of a resurgence as well a while ago. And the fact that they're showing, what Virgin are saying is, well, because now we're focusing on fresh, exciting new content, and the fact that they're doing Love Island instead of in the same slot, they're showing Love Island, or a spin-off of Love Island instead of Big Brother. I mean, you know, it doesn't really make sense. There's a problem for viewers, and a lot of viewers in Ireland, most of the viewers in Ireland, can't watch ITV, which is a problem. I think you used to be able to manually tune in if you had a Sky box. I don't think you can even do that anymore. So yeah, I think people are going to miss it.
Okay, other things. Let's hear a little bit from South Park, because we know that in recent weeks South Park has been taking on Donald Trump, and particularly a little small part of his anatomy. But now they seem to have targeted the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Let's hear what Cartman's mother confronting him.
There you are, Mr. Netanyahu! Just who do you think you are? Killing thousands and flattening neighborhoods, then wrapping yourself in Judaism like it's some shield from criticism. You're making life for Jews miserable and life for American Jews impossible. Oh, don't you roll your eyes at me, mister. You know what you're doing, and you're doing it on purpose. Well, now you can just sit in that chair, because I'm not going anywhere, buster. I've been to every PTA meeting, every school board meeting, and I can go all day.
Joe, the music is an interesting choice as well, but South Park seems to be doing the only confrontation of power and authority in America these days, is it?
Yeah, I was just thinking, actually, I think they might send Cartman to the Ryder Cup next, actually. That might be a bit of fun. But yeah, I mean, this is it. This is the really... These are the only guys, Trey Parker and Matt Stone. And what they've always said is, we are equal opportunity offenders. We go after everybody, we don't care. That's why they were really hated on the left and have recently become really hated on the right. So this is fascinating. There's nobody else in American, in satire, in comedy, and going anywhere near this. And that was really, really strong stuff. I mean, it was almost sort of polemic. It was almost sort of like, you know, what a lot of people in America, especially a lot of Jews, like Matt Stone, who is Jewish himself, probably want to say to Netanyahu, but haven't had the chance. So this is really strong stuff from South Park, and they're going to get a lot of flack over it.
Meanwhile, Elaine, I see Apple has postponed a series, a drama series, which it has been promoting here in Ireland. I've seen it with Jessica Chastain, about domestic extremism. What's happened here?
Yeah, so this is a show called The Savant, which was meant to be a real tentpole of Apple's year for 2025. It was on so many watch lists since the end of last year of things that people were looking forward to seeing come to their TV screens. And it was due for release on the 26th of September. And very abruptly and very close to that date, Apple decided that they weren't going to air it after careful consideration was the language that they
careful
used.
Careful consideration, a great cop-out, huh?
It's been indefinitely postponed. They haven't said when they're going to air it. And essentially what it's about is Jessica Chastain plays this woman who investigates extremist online groups. And it's been described as basically she investigates angry men online. That's the kind of the trope there. And it's about countering domestic terrorism that these groups are perpetuating. And she herself has said she's not aligned with this decision from Apple TV, but she is kind of, she finds it upsetting that this piece of work was filmed, I think, a long time ago. I think it might be have wrapped in like 2024, and how timely it has become has actually become a source of distress.
Okay, what's your pick of the week, Joe, please?
Blue Lights, which is the Northern Ireland set police drama, which a lot of people like, and for good reason. It's won some awards, but you know, it's one of those shows that has a really, really large audience. It doesn't get maybe as much attention as other cop shows do, as other big budget or really kind of like fated ones do. So it's back tonight on BBC One at 9 p.m. It's the third season. Now, the good thing is, if you haven't seen Blue Lights before, the first two seasons are on the RTE player. So you can catch up on that and maybe, you know, tape the new series and maybe join in on that then. So, like, people, if you know Blue Lights, you know it's a good, solid, very interesting cop show, well-made, great acting, and it's a really, really solid pick for something to watch tonight.
What have you got for us, Elaine?
So I won't be returning to House of Guinness for its Irish subtitles, but to get at my little dose of An Cúpla Focal, I'm going to check out Colleen Ní Grána, which is this Irish language interpretation of Mean Girls. It's just a 15-minute short version, but they've supplanted the plot with Irish references. So instead of a Christmas dance, they do a St. Patrick's Day dance, and they wear Bon Jarrick on Gaidhí Ag Éadaíon. And you can learn the iconic quotes from this Mean Girls film in Irish, and I think that'd be a really nice way to pick up some Irish to insert into your everyday language.
Okay. Bill Murray, comedian, I know he was at the American football match in Croke Park yesterday. He's also been filmed, there was stuff of him in a pub down in Dingle last week singing with the locals. Tell us why he's going around Ireland so much, Joe.
He was in Kinsale as well, and he was all over the place in Kinsale and popping into restaurants and cafes and ice cream stores and everything. And the reason why he was in Kinsale is because there's a very famous golf course in very near Kinsale.
Yes, it's about 8 miles from Kinsale. The old hedge, isn't it?
And we regularly see super yachts parked in Cork Harbour with helicopters taken off to fly guys. So this is an iconic golf course. And what Bill Murray is doing is a new BBC series where he's playing the iconic golf courses of Ireland, which for Bill Murray must sounds like a bit of a dream job. People will remember him, of course, one of the great comedies of all time, Caddyshack. The one that really kind of gave him his first big break in movies. So it's, you know, if you like golf, if you like Bill Murray, you like Ireland, travelogues, you're going to love this. It's no broadcast date yet, but probably sometime next spring.
And Elaine, I see that Luke Wilson is teaming up with Will Ferrell for a Netflix golf comedy series, which makes me shudder because a lot of the time anything to do with golf and comedy is absolute rubbish. Indeed, Owen Wilson is in an unwatchable show at present based on a golf story.
Well, this actually, when I got this bit of news, I was confused because I was like, I thought this already existed because I confused Owen and Luke Wilson, and I obviously confused Netflix and Apple TV because I am aware of Stick, which has been renewed for a second season.
It's dreadful.
Terrible.
It's
terrible.
One of the worst things ever made.
A lot of American comedy is bad, guys. But also, Happy Gilmore too has seen a massive success.
Of course it has.
The comeback of the golf comedy is in force, I think. So yeah, the Netflix attempt is going to star Luke Wilson as the rival to Will Ferrell. Now, it's interesting in that it's apparently Will Ferrell's first starring TV role. And the only TV I could think of him appearing in as a regular even was The Office. He did a short stint replacing Steve Carell in that. So That will probably get it a lot of attention. But whether it's going to be any good really remains to be seen.
And very quickly, Joe, for no Love Island, but it's not getting a lot of attention, Big Brother, because it seems everyone in Britain is consumed by Strictly Come Dancing at the moment.
Yeah, Strictly Come Dancing has managed to hit the real high notes this season, and partly because of the cast that they've chosen. And there's some kind of high-profile people you love to hate kind of characters in there as well. Amber Davies is going in, Danny Dyer is out, because they also had a lot of problems with injuries. Like, these shows take a huge toll on people, because really what they're expected to do is to be, to perform these really high kind of intensity physical acts. So it's Strictly is doing really well this year, and I think they're going to probably have one of their best seasons ever.
We leave it there. Joe O'Shea, Elaine Burke, thank you.
The Last Word on Today FM.